Martha Stewart here. As a devoted pet parent and culinary expert, I ensure my cats and dogs are fed the finest nutrition. My premium pet food features air-dried protein inclusion, whole fruits and vegetables, and never any fillers. Martha Stewart pet food formulas make it so easy to satisfy the dietary needs and taste preferences of your pets. Now all six delicious formulas are 50% off. And there's convenient home delivery on Chewy.com. No more lugging heavy bags, and your pets will thrive on the optimal nutrition and great taste.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Being willing to constantly accept the new realities and figure out how to play and win, I think it's really important.
Encore Jane grew up in an entrepreneurial family, so perhaps it's not surprising that at age 33, he has already founded three companies. His work focuses on solving real-life problems, from student debt to affordable housing. His latest venture, Built Rewards, that's B-I-L-T, a loyalty rewards program that lets renters earn points for their rent payments. Built is also helping renters build a path to home ownership. Welcome to my podcast, Encore.
The best to come on and see you.
It is so nice to have you here. I met Encore through a mutual friend, Sean Walsh, who at the time was working for the Daily Mail.
Can you believe it?
And now somehow you lured him away from it. This is how entrepreneurial Encore is.
I promised him a Kardashian, but you know.
But he seems to be enjoying himself tremendously. Let's get back to Built, which launched only 3 years ago. And all of you listening, if you are paying rent, stay tuned. If you haven't figured out how to use Built, you should be really do that by the end of this podcast.
The most exciting thing about this company is that for so many Americans, paying rent every month is your single biggest expense.
Yes.
And up until now, you got nothing back for it. But think about it. I can buy a round of drinks. And I get rewards, I get miles, I can build my credit, but you pay rent and you didn't get any of that.
So when did this light bulb go off in your head?
And so what's exciting about Built is we give you rewards on your home. Every month you pay rent, you get points and miles, we build your credit, you get closer to home ownership, and then we also reward you in the neighborhood. So when you go to your favorite restaurants, your favorite grocery store, your favorite coffee shop, all of these merchants can now use Built to build loyalty with the local residents, and you get rewarded when you shop local. Think about how much you spend on that compared to everything else. And if you think about it, that's a free trip around the world every single year.
Yes.
That you're just missing by not using Built. And so by creating that ecosystem, we were able to make that win-win where the landlords win, the local merchants win, the card companies win, and most importantly, the renter wins.
How many people now are getting points for their rent?
It's pretty cool. We have over 4 million apartments that are using Built exclusively now for how you pay your rent, get rewards, et cetera.
So, Encore, I know you've recently had some big news at Built. Tell me about it.
Well, so this is the exciting thing. Just announced, Built is now a $3.1 billion company. Oh. We are so excited about this, not even because of the capital valuation, but because we've just brought on some of the best partners. So Ken Chenault, who was the CEO of American Express for 20 years, an amazing guy. Ken is joining Built as our chairman to help us grow this.
How great.
Roger Goodell, who's the commissioner of the NFL, which, by the way, is the biggest company in the world for hometown loyalty, is also joining Built.
Oh, great.
And together, we also brought in $200 million. There's a $3.1 billion valuation on the business. But I think what's really exciting is it means, like, we have really established the core. I mean, we did over $20 billion of spend for members in a year and a half. Just think about that.
$20 billion.
And that just shows you how
that
much.
That means renters paying $20 billion in rent
and
are now getting points for
getting
that
points
money.
On that.
What a fantastic, really, in a very short period of time, you have built, and your father must be so proud.
Yeah. Well, look, I learned a lot from him. You know, my dad came here as an immigrant from India. My mom was an immigrant and grew up in Israel. And, you know, when they came here, like, they didn't have anything.
Right.
And there was this opportunity in this country, the American dream, where, I mean, my dad grew up in a village outside of the city of India, studying with textbooks on a dirt floor.
And he built a company that was at one point valued at $40 billion, Infospace. And now you are following in his footsteps, building something that really does benefit a tremendous number of people.
Well, I got to tell you, you are such an adventurer. I love, if you remember when we first met was with Dr. Zahi, actually.
Oh, yes. And I was just talking about Dr. Zahi because I was talking about your wedding in Egypt. And he's helped you arrange a phenomenal wedding.
He's the best.
Near the Sphinx and the Great Pyramid. So, well, what about him?
Well, I was just saying with Dr. Zahi, when you came by, I knew you were someone I was going to love because you brought a folder of all of your adventures and photos in Egypt.
Yes.
And I was like, I love Martha. This is awesome. I actually, you know, between us, I wanted to set you up with Dr. Zahi.
Oh, you did?
He was quite interested. Don't think he got the love back.
Well, I was only at a cocktail party. You have to tell me these things. If I come to your wedding, maybe we can get together.
He's officiating our wedding in front of the Sphinx.
Okay.
Maybe we'll then officiate your guys' wedding.
Wow. And you know what? I love Egypt.
It's such a special place.
And I had the most, what I was showing him at that time, and now Ankur and his beautiful, beautiful fiance are getting married in the desert, right in Cairo, in front of two of the most iconic pieces of antiquity. And I don't know how you wrangled that, Ankur, but you wrangled it. And Dr. Zahir, isn't he the head of all antiquities in Egypt?
Yes. Well, he's now retired from that role, but he's been the longtime minister. He's the real-life Indiana Jones.
Yeah. And he is the minister of antiquities. And he has arranged that this beautiful thing can happen. But I had the best trip to Egypt, and I took 9 children to Egypt once.
Wow.
To visit the pyramids. We traveled with Dr. Weeks from Yale.
Yep.
He was our tour guide.
Oh, it's amazing.
Yeah. So, well, now we digressed. So you brought it into to a $3.1 billion valuation in just 3 years.
Well, actually, we only launched it publicly in April 2022.
Yeah.
So it's been less than 2 years.
Less than two
but
years.
But it's years of hard work. And this is... Look, you hear the glamour stories.
You don't look so worn out.
I have gray hair. You
have a little gray hair.
Are you
there?
Kidding me? Oh. Erica calls out my gray hairs every night. She's like, "Hey, oldie."
Oh no!
But no, it. Look, you always hear the quick stories. It took years to make this thing possible.
Well, you had to persuade all the building owners, the real estate moguls, to accept this unusual program.
We had to get the real estate owners involved. But we also had to get the government on board.
Yeah.
I mean, something so crazy. Think about this. You pay your rent every single month on time. And then you want to buy a home. And they say, oh, sorry, you don't have enough credit history to get a mortgage. We don't know if you can pay it reliably. And you go, I have been paying for 10 years monthly rent on time.
More than my mortgage would be.
Right.
Yes. And why can't I buy a home?
Why can't I get a home?
Yeah.
And so we had to go and get the government regulators, the credit bureaus.
Is this the FDIC or something?
Oh, so the first we had to get the credit bureaus on board
okay.
to accept rental payments to build your credit history. And then we worked with Fannie, Freddie, FHA, so FHFA and FHA, to say, hey guys, why is it that young people can't build a path to homeownership by paying rent? And by the way, why can't you use points and miles to pay your down payment?
Right.
And so we got that passed. It took us 18 months. We had to get the Secretary of Housing on board, Secretary of Treasury on board. We were at FHA.
Who are they? Do you know who they are now?
Well, now it's all changed since then. But, you know, this was a hell of a battle.
Well, getting renters back some of the value for their money sounds like a phenomenal idea. And but how did you know that you had such a strong and sound business plan?
Well, look, like any business, if you solve a real problem for the customer, if you solve a problem that people are spending money on, right, and you make it better for them, you will figure out the business model. And it, for us, it took a couple iterations, right? But if you're spending $3,000, $2,000, $1,500 a month.
Rent in New York has skyrocketed.
It's 50% up.
Since the pandemic.
It's $5,000 a month for the average apartment here in New York.
Now, if I rent a piece of property that I own, how do I manage to let the renters get a Bilt card?
Well, so first of all, anybody can sign up for Bilt and pay rent at any apartment. And you can use any debit card or credit card.
What if it's a piece?
So we've just started rolling out with condos, which is super exciting. And this year, one of my goals is to open this up for mortgage owners too, so we can really reward people in their home. We already do co-ops.
Really?
Yeah. So you can pay your common fees and HOA fees.
I have a co-op here in the city. So we have a mutual friend who is the founder of he's the points guy.
Of course.
And has he helped you in any way?
Brian was my first partner.
He was.
In this thing. I mean, I called Brian and said, hey, I've got this crazy idea. What if we could earn points on rent? And he starts laughing. he goes, I love your enthusiasm. I'm on board, but, let's see if this goes anywhere.
Oh, really? So he was a little
rightly so. Listen, if I had known just how hard this was going to be when we started this in 2018, I'm not sure even I'm crazy enough to have wanted to go pursue it.
Right.
But again, you take battle after battle. And if you can get one step forward without losing sight of the core mission, which is to help create value for renters.
So what was the biggest challenge? Who did you have to persuade? Who was the biggest naysayer?
Honestly, change. Everybody resists change, right? That has just been the biggest barrier. I mean, we had to convince the banks and the payment networks to open up to a new category of spend and reward customers on that spend where they hadn't before. That was really hard. Getting the government, I'll tell you a funny story. Not even funny, crazy story. After 18 months of working with the FHA to try to get this regulation approved to say you can use points to a down payment. This should only be good for people, right?
Yeah.
But there's a lot of distrust. There's a lot of resistance to change. And after 18 months, I got a letter back saying, dear Mr. Jane, thank you for your request. It is declined.
That's it.
I mean, I have been working on this for two years.
It is declined.
And it was declined. And I started calling everybody to get, I said, I need to get a meeting. There must be a misunderstanding. And finally, I got a phone call and I went down to DC to meet with the team at HUD. And I said, guys, just want to explain to you what we're trying to do. Americans do not have a path to home ownership today. But young people are earning miles. They're using credit cards, using debit cards. They're getting points, and they're right now using it for trips all over the world. What if you empowered them to put that value towards a home?
Right.
The only asset that most Americans can ever get at that kind of leverage to build wealth over time. And one of the people in the room said, her husband had just passed and was a huge points person. He said, if this program had existed, her son could have been a first-generation homeowner.
Isn't that amazing?
And that room came back to me a week later and approved
your application.
Yeah.
In an interview last fall, you said that you had learned to be careful about jumping into raising venture capital investment.
Yes.
What's that about?
And by the way, that stands true even as we've brought in this new capital, right? I think it's so important. People get enamored in building companies with raising capital and doing rounds, and you have to remember, when you do that, you're giving up ownership
Definitely.
In your business. I think people sometimes just think of it as capital raise, as if it was revenue. It's not revenue, right?
Right.
It's giving and selling ownership, and you're getting married to these people. And so making sure you have aligned interests, do you really trust these people? Are they the right partners? And so the best thing after my last two companies learning this lesson the hard way is almost all the money we've raised to date has been from our biggest partners in the business, the commercial partners, so that we align interests. It's our real estate owners. It's people like Ken Chenault.
They can see the prospects.
And the success of our business is good for all of our business and the investment, mm-hmm. not just the capital.
Well, before Bilt, you created Kairos.
Yes.
An incubator, Kairos.
So
this is when he was in his 20s. He is creating a company focused on what?
how do you build companies that solve big problems? I mean, built is like everything in life. When you look back, it all starts to make sense. But at the time, it all seems chaotic. In 2008, when the financial crisis hit, we said, hey, people don't have jobs. I was at Penn at the time in undergrad school. And everyone was graduating without any banking jobs, without any consulting jobs. We said, what if you could take the smartest young people and create companies that tackle these $10 billion problems in energy, housing, healthcare, financial services, that lack of access to it? And we ended up spinning out. By the time we were 23, we'd spun out companies like Casper and Periscope and Freenome and FiscalNote. And that was the exciting part. Is to this day, I'm now 33. I still work with all of the same guys. We're building companies together, and you just have this trust that's really hard to recreate.
And you couldn't have done it 20 years ago without the ability of what computers can do for us,
right?
What AI can do with do for us. You couldn't have done this kind of rapid entrepreneurial initiatives.
Exactly right.
Could you?
No, and it's only going to get faster. Have you played around with ChatGPT recently?
Oh, boy.
Oh.
It is so much fun. My grandson, who is 11, taught me how to use it, and it's fascinating.
It's amazing.
Martha Stewart here. As a devoted pet parent and culinary expert, I ensure my cats and dogs are fed the finest nutrition. My premium pet food features air-dried protein inclusion, whole fruits and vegetables, and never any fillers. Martha Stewart pet food formulas make it so easy to satisfy the dietary needs and taste preferences of your pets. Now all six delicious formulas are 50% off. And there's convenient home delivery on Chewy.com. No more lugging heavy bags, and your pets will thrive on the optimal nutrition and great taste.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like a million bucks.
...with zero qualifications...
She had a Harvard plaque.
...tricks her way past a wall of lawyers and agents.
She's got all of these Maseratis and Bentleys all in the driveway.
Is it like a mansion?
Yes, it's a mansion. ...that this queen of the con uses to scam some of the biggest names in professional sports out of untold fortunes.
About $6 million.
Approximately $11 million.
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
Employing whatever means necessary to bleed her victims dry.
She would probably have sex with one of her clients.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Why is it so important for you to have a social mission to your work? Because this really does speak to a responsibility to our population.
Personally, like I said, I saw my parents come here with nothing and had this opportunity in this country to build a future for them, myself, my brother, my sister. I'm not sure that that's that easy anymore. Right, I look at some of my friends who were even lucky enough to be born in America with great access, and it's still so hard to get ahead these days because cost of living has gone up, yeah. Right? And if we don't fix that, you're going to see massive problems, and you either decide that you're going to wait and hope that government regulation fixes it, which I don't think is going to happen, no. Or you go fix it yourself. And so I think that is a personal motivation to make these things work for our generation. And I think the big misunderstanding is people think that's at the expense of business, right? But I actually think the best businesses are when you solve the biggest problems. And you have entire generations coming up that can't afford rent, that can't afford healthcare, that can't access these financial services. I mean, that is a huge business opportunity, right? If you can fix it and make it work for the customer, that's the product you're going to pick.
Well, your enthusiasm is so infectious, and your explanations are so clear. For a young person, your attention to all of the problems that face us as a nation, it's admirable that you are taking this into consideration in a business. Which other problems would you consider facing?
So I used to run Tinder's product.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a funny other side story we'll talk about. But
Tinder, the dating app?
I'll tell you, there's only so much fulfillment you get from optimizing swipe rights and swipe left, right? And so when I came out and I was looking at what to do next, I'll never forget, I sat in this meeting with a venture capitalist who was trying to recruit me to come run one of these new companies they were putting $100 million into. And he said, this is going to be the next big thing. I was so livid. They ended up pitching me. They say, imagine if you had virtual Prada bags that existed in the cyberverse. I go, this is the world-changing idea that you're going to put $100 million. And I walked outside the Four Seasons on Market Street. And it was like a Time magazine cover parody of Silicon Valley. Here's a VC pitching me on this virtual Prada bag. And in the middle of the street, you had Bird Scooters that had just raised $200 million. Also crazy. With a naked homeless person humping the scooter in the middle of the street, stop and shop. And you sit to yourself, you have the worst housing crisis, some of the worst mental health crises, you have some of the biggest issues with access to financial literacy, and you're pitching me on virtual Prada bags? I mean, is this a joke?
That kind of stuff does happen, but I think less now than it did, because money is scarcer, and a good idea is hard to find. And yet there are some, you know, fantastically good ideas emerging, and you have one of them. I mean, if Brian Chesky had come to you with Airbnb, would you have pushed him away?
It's hard to know. Yeah. The thing is, it's funny, right? Because everything seems obvious in retrospect, and yet when it's new, everybody poo-poos it.
You know, he was on the podcast, and it made such sense when he described why he wanted to do that. Just as what you're doing makes such sense in retrospect and in the present.
And it's funny, right? Because you hear the actual reasoning and story, and I've listened to Brian's stuff before too, and he's a brilliant entrepreneur. And and when he talks about, again, same issue, it's how do you afford things like rent,
right?
And if you can make some money on the side that helps create value for your fellow consumer and helps you pay rent, that's a big deal.
It certainly is. It certainly is. Can private sector's companies really provide the best solutions for these issues?
So I think, and this is something you have done so well, is to really make an impact. You have to think about how do you use private sector innovation, but you also have to work closely with government to shape regulation in a way that's helpful. And you need to understand pop culture, because if you don't understand pop culture, you can't move the hearts and minds. If you don't understand the innovation, you're not going to solve the issue. And if you don't work with government, they're going to stop you, right?
Right.
And I think that, again, something you've done extremely well. But bringing those three things together, I think, is really important, not just the private sector.
Inc. magazine once called you the most influential 21-year-old in the world.
What were you doing? I told you I'm old now.
But what was happening at 21?
At 21, I was building Kairos. And again, this was a time coming out of the 2008 recession when we said, wait, there is a better way to do this. You don't need to just go into banking and consulting and, you know, get stuck on that rat race. And so at the time, it was, again, the first iteration, if you will, of my built experience, which was find great talent, solve problems, get governments involved, get culture involved. And we were doing that. We were creating and incubating companies, working with the U.S. government, working with President Obama's Startup America at the time, working with the Chilean government, working with the Chinese government at the time. It was a different China back then.
Is there any points program in China?
Yeah, there are their own versions of rewards programs. But look, I'd love to get involved there, right? One of our largest investors is a company called Naspers, which was the biggest owner of Tencent, in China.
Yeah.
And so I think there's such an opportunity to find ways to bring value. And by the way, you create that share. We tried this with Tinder and we got a copycat in China and then blocked, which was not the most fun. But you can create connections with people through a shared experience. It's pretty powerful.
I know that you're interested, as we mentioned, in AI. How are you guys using AI at Built?
I love this. This is like, so I am like the power ChatGPT user. I have not been this excited about a product in a while. First of all, I use it
Which AI do you like the best, chatbot?
I'm a ChatGPT guy.
Okay.
It's simple interface. It works well. I still think Google has some work to do.
That's Microsoft, right?
It's Microsoft and OpenAI. Yeah.
Right.
What I love about it is you take the chaotic thoughts that like you have or I have and we just dump it. And the way it helps condense that into really simple frameworks is incredible. And that's actually the way I use it the most. Look, every new technology has dangers to it and changes to it. Some jobs will go away. But I think AI will make us all so much more productive and better at what we do.
And you're not afraid of it.
No, I think it's the best. I think it is.
So many people are so afraid of AI.
They're afraid of change. I think that's the thing. People talk about AI, but they were afraid of every new technology that has come out. And I get it. Like the unknown is scary.
Would you call your company a very complicated company?
It's an extraordinarily complex ecosystem
and
a very simple product. You earn points on rent. You earn points in your neighborhood.
That's it.
Right?
But to get there
But to make that happen has required multiple different payment networks, tens of banks that have to work with us involved,
and
thousands of real estate owners.
And
the gray hairs.
That's just genetics. You know that.
I'm convinced. So this is how embarrassing.
Your father has gray hair.
This is so embarrassing. I am so determined to start figure out how to solve some of these health issues. That in my side time, and Erica hates this, I have filled our fridge with new genetic editing kits that I'm trying to learn how to code in ATCGs. And it's, look, the same way when I was 11 years old, I was starting to learn how to code on computers.
Right.
Like we are going to be able to code our bodies in biology. And that's a pretty exciting.
I've been a proponent of that kind of stuff too for a long time.
Right.
I mean, that lab in Iceland that.
Is it the Seed Lab?
Yeah. Oh, boy. Very interesting.
Tell me about that trip, by the way.
Oh, fantastic. That was a trip that we took to Iceland and Greenland. And Greenland is an interesting place. I mean, I learned a lot on that trip.
I think everybody did.
So how did your father, a very successful entrepreneur, and your mother too, how did he help you follow in his footsteps? How did he encourage you?
Well.
Or did he?
Partly necessity, partly... You know, I'm really bad at following rules. I'm probably not a great employee.
Were you a good student?
I was a good grade student, maybe not the best student. I didn't really show up to a lot of classes. But I think what I realized growing up was, for my dad, for my mom, there wasn't this idea of work and then separation. It was all just a lifestyle. And it's just everybody is in it together. I mean, every day after school, my mom or dad would pick us up and they'd bring us straight back to the office because they were building the company together.
Right.
And we would sit there and I'd have my homework, my video games, and I'd sometimes sit in on meetings. I remember, I think I was like 7 years old when I first sat in next to my dad, watching him having to let people go. Like, you learn a lot sitting in that. When I was 8 years old, I remember I went on his IPO roadshow. And I had no idea what a roadshow was. And I just remember sitting in this ballroom with a room full of suits and ties, wanting just my orange juice and chocolate milk. And my dad went up on stage and he goes, you know what? Sometimes the best way to understand what a company does is have a child explain it to you. And he made me go on stage. I had no idea. Now looking back, this was all the bankers and JP and Goldman and all these investment funds. And I was so annoyed. I just wanted my chocolate milk. I just wanted my orange juice. And I went up and I talked about the company. And now looking back, I mean, that experience was priceless.
Yeah.
Right?
Very much so.
And you just can't. And I always say, like, it doesn't matter what you do. If you can expose your kids to that type of experience early on, no matter what it is, whether it's working at a newsstand like this or whether it's working in anywhere, it's just that experience that you get, it's hard to price.
Oh, no. There's nothing. You can't pay for that. You have to be born into it. How many siblings do you have?
I've got a younger sister and a younger brother. They are the smart ones in the family.
What do they do?
My little sister, who you will love, is like a true dynamo. She is running a company called Evie, and she is committed to tackling women's healthcare. It's Evie Bio is the first at-home vaginal microbiome test. So they can look at what's going on that's causing recurring UTIs, yeast infections, and actually help you get real answers and solutions so that women aren't dealing with this. I mean, you know what's crazy? She told me that until 1990, women weren't included in most clinical trials for drug development. Can you believe that?
Yep.
So she is, I mean, she is a rock star. And she's, and my little brother, he's the youngest of the three. He's already the head of strategy at this company that's redefining mortgage servicing. It's actually really fun that we've ended up in kind of similar worlds. Yeah. And so it's been fun to watch him. He's just turned 27 and he's, you know, building an entire new insurance vertical now for the mortgage space. And I'm super proud of them. It's awesome.
That is so great.
I mean, we live four blocks each from each other in the West Village. It's both fun and annoying when sometimes they just walk over and show up. And that's the best and the most annoying thing, right?
So now you've created three companies. When you think about the future, you're focusing on Built, right?
100%.
And Built can really grow into something much, much, much bigger than it is now.
Even just this is why, what I'm so thankful for when people come in, the only reason evaluation matters is because it's a signal to what people believe it can be down the road. Because if they're investing at a $3 billion valuation, that means they're expecting it to be at least a 30.
Right.
Right. And to get there, it means you have an ecosystem that can scale. And that is really exciting.
So at what valuation do you go public?
I don't think you should go. Look, I watched this the hard way. I mean, you remember the dot-com days.
Oh, yeah.
I watched that and I saw it again, right? And if you can, the dream is to, like, today, Built is a profitable company already. We have been so disciplined and careful about how do we build this profitably.
And you have a great back office.
I mean, you have to have the most. I mean, to move $20 billion of capital flowing back and forth, you have to be every T crossed, every I dotted on that type of thing, right?
How many people work for the company now?
Smaller, 125 people.
Oh, and doing all that.
So
you have really, really good programmers, don't you?
So, and that's just a part of the team, right? You have a loyalty team. You've got a marketing team. You've got a whole banking team. And I just think it's about you get the best talent by saying, come in and own this part of our business. And by the way, you'll succeed massively through it if you take on that responsibility.
I like where you're going. It sounds very exciting. What qualities do you think are most important as an entrepreneur?
Honestly, I think there's two things. It's how comfortable are you in the unknown, right? It is a constantly unknown situation of what's going to happen, what could happen, what risk. And you got to be so comfortable in being willing to figure it out on the fly, right? And it's this is a great quote, strong convictions weakly held, right? Uh-huh. And I love that.
So change is good.
Change is the norm,
not
the antithesis. And so if you're willing to say you have a North Star, but how you get there will keep changing, right? And being okay with that, that's the key to innovate. Because you never know. People didn't know COVID was going to happen. People didn't know AI was going to come at this pace, right? And so being willing to constantly accept the new realities and figure out how to play and win, I think it's really important.
It's so exciting too. It's so exciting. Beyond your family, which business leaders or companies have inspired you?
I mean, I love the stuff you've been doing. I think the way you've brought in pop culture is so fun and it gets people excited and
passionate. It's great to build a brand because that's what people are looking for.
Totally. People want to fill their life with things that represent who they are and what they believe. It's why, for better or for worse, that's why politics is always taking over the news because it gives you something to identify with, right? Great brands. The reason all these people are standing outside here waiting for you is because you have a brand.
How nice that a lady from Nova Scotia waited. She came back because she heard I was going to be
and
here.
And in this
today.
Weather?
Martha Stewart here. As a devoted pet parent and culinary expert, I ensure my cats and dogs are fed the finest nutrition. My premium pet food features air-dried protein inclusion, whole fruits and vegetables, and never any fillers. Martha Stewart pet food formulas make it so easy to satisfy the dietary needs and taste preferences of your pets. Now all six delicious formulas are 50% off. And there's convenient home delivery on Chewy.com. No more lugging heavy bags, and your pets will thrive on the optimal nutrition and great taste.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from The Rachel Zoe Project or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Just looking around you, name 10 entrepreneurs who are of great interest to you.
Current. Brian Chesky, yes. I think, is fascinating. Okay. I think Sam Altman right now has been fascinating.
ChatGPT.
And by the way, watching the team culture he built, that even when there was an attempt to oust him from the company.
Major problem would not leave him.
That's right.
I love that so much.
It's incredible. And look, that's what you want. You want alignment of incentives with all the people you work with. You can trust them to the core.
Indeed.
So I found that quite fascinating. Obviously, what Elon is doing is incredible. I don't know why people love to hate.
I love him.
It's like, I'll tell you what, like before you hate, you go build a rocket and send it to the moon.
Yeah.
You go build a rocket and send it to Mars. Right. You create the largest electric vehicle company in the world.
How about all the satellites? Half the satellites floating in the sky.
Right, and give the whole world access to cell phone connectivity, and then you can come hate.
Right.
So I think what he's done is unbelievable, truly, as an inspiration. And look, I'll tell you, entrepreneurship isn't just CEOs and founders that I find interesting, right?
It's inventors.
That's right.
It's chemists. It's physicists.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And by the way, it's
geneticists.
That's right.
Yeah.
And that type of stuff actually is where my passion and heart lies. Some of these incredible breakthroughs in science, it is a fundamental change in what the world is, right? I mean, I always ask ourselves, for my grandparents, to them, there was an element of technology and texting doesn't feel human. It's not the same. You're not together. And I agree with a lot of what they say, but it's natural to me. Texting is—
And it's modern.
It's modern. But what is it that my grandkids one day will do that will feel innately odd or unnatural, right? And maybe it's something like, hey, you just pop a pill that changes your genetics of your eye color and it changes the pigmentation it produces. And
by the way,
that's the most natural thing in the world.
Yeah.
You're editing genetics. It's truly biology, but it will be scary to a lot of people.
And it will be so short. It takes such a short period of time
instead
of a couple million years, right?
That's right. Well, the fact also that you get out of a surgery and you just sit in bed for 6 months, people are going to look back and say, I don't get it. What do you mean you just sat in bed? Because they're going to be able to recover so quickly.
So quickly. And any artificial joints or limbs will just be
natural.
That's right.
Right. It doesn't make sense to put metal in your body, regrow the limb, regrow the joint, and by the way, make it better.
Yeah, I agree. What advice do you wish somebody would have given you 10 years ago?
I think.
And would you have listened?
Listen, look, I'll tell you, it's a real problem. Sometimes you sometimes have to fall and scrape your knees and bump your head a couple times to figure it out, like as a kid. Nobody actually tells you how much of being a leader is not about the problem you're solving. It's about taking care of the people that work for you. I joke half my job is being their therapist and partner. And I think that's a really important skill set that isn't really taught in business.
Here's another little fact about our guest today. He has a real penchant and a passion for history.
Yes.
So are you a real student of history?
Especially ancient history. I mean, I think it is, first of all.
So that's where the Egypt comes from.
100%.
Oh, okay.
I mean, you think about how these civilizations were able to build and create and grow. And not just the fact that how in the world do you build the pyramids and have it lasting 5,000 years later, which I have to show you, by the way. I went down a couple weeks ago. This is a few months ago now. And Dr. Waziri, who's the new Minister of Antiquities, called me and he goes, "Hey, do you want to come see this new tomb we just discovered in Saqqara?" I said, "Yes." And so we go there and I'm standing in this hole in the ground, looking down. It's pitch black, 50 meters deep. Oh. I get into a basket tied to a rope.
Oh, boy.
And six people start rotating this wooden log, lowering me with a flashlight.
Not even mechanized.
No. These are people. I was like, please don't break the rope. Please. No. So we get down, and at the bottom of this room, pitch black, was one of the largest discoveries of unopened sarcophagi and mummies.
Ooh.
Just sitting there.
Ooh.
I mean, it was, and you think to yourself, this society, it was so advanced. How do they do it?
Yeah. Right? How did they move those rocks?
And the communication.
Those cut stones.
You have the physical side and then the societal side of it too. Like, how do you manage and organize such a large empire?
And the mystical side, yeah.
Right.
With no communication.
No communications.
None.
I mean, somebody.
No telephone.
You and I talk, and it's like, I'm going to just stand at this coordinate of the stars in the middle of the desert and assume it's around the time you told me to meet to pick up the stone off the barge. I mean, it just is incredible.
It is. It is incredible. So do you read a lot?
I used to read a lot more. I've been back. You know what? Nowadays, this is my guilty pleasure. I watch probably 30 minutes of TikTok at least a day
before
I go to bed. That is like my modern bite-sized.
But you learn a lot, don't you?
I learn so much.
Oh, I do too.
It's
I learn more cooking techniques and more kind of interesting little factoids.
Totally.
That I would never, ever have expected by watching like a half an hour. I sometimes wake up and turn on Instagram just to look. Gardening. Oh my gosh. I've learned so many gardening because I'm a huge gardener.
Yes.
And I have taught so many people how to garden, but I can still learn. And don't you like to continue your learning?
That is what's so much fun. After the journey of building a company, the coolest part about starting a company is not actually the company. It's the experiences that you get to have in building the company you just learn.
That is very nice to hear. And you have some exciting things happening in your personal life. We've mentioned that you have a fiancé.
Yes.
And that you are getting married. And what
as
are you going
to do? She sticks with me from now till April, so.
She's not going anywhere. That girl is so beautiful.
She's the best.
And she really seems to care deeply for you and what you're doing.
She's the best. And she puts up with me and she supports. And, you know, the best thing about it is all of my friends like her more than they like me.
Well, that's good.
So even if I piss them off, they'll still hang out with me just to hang out with her.
Okay,
so
that's very nice to know. And you definitely want family.
Yes.
Yes, that's so nice.
Time's right.
You're 33. You're getting old. Gosh.
Yeah, I know, but I'm not ready for that just yet.
No,
I got to
you get that company really in perfect shape and start your next.
Yeah, that's right.
Encore, I'm really happy to have spent this time with you. We're out of time. But,
oh, my God.
But this is what I like about entrepreneurs. You're so enthusiastic. And you are so energetic and you are so interesting.
Oh, thank you.
And I cannot wait to see the next steps in your fantastic life.
I just want to have as much fun as you do at every step of my life. That is the way to live.
Yeah, it is very exciting to be a productive entrepreneur, and you are living the life. Thank you so much for being
Thanks
on my
for
podcast.
Having me.
Martha Stewart here. As a devoted pet parent and culinary expert, I ensure my cats and dogs are fed the finest nutrition. My premium pet food features air-dried protein inclusion, whole fruits and vegetables, and never any fillers. Martha Stewart pet food formulas make it so easy to satisfy the dietary needs and taste preferences of your pets. Now all six delicious formulas are 50% off. And there's convenient home delivery on Chewy.com. No more lugging heavy bags, and your pets will thrive on the optimal nutrition and great taste.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, "Somebody's in the house," and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.